Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb. Class isn't even starting. You're ready to fall asleep. Let it be boring first, and then you have some excuse. Atma nityo vaya shuddha eka kshetrajna ashrayaha avikriya svadrik hetur vyapako sangya navrita. Atma, the spirit soul, the part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nitya, without birth or death. Avyaya, with no possibility of dwindling. Shuddha, without the material contamination of attachment and detachment. Eka, individual, kshetrajna, who knows and is therefore different from the material body. Ashraya, the original foundation. Avikriya, not undergoing changes like the body. Svadrik, self-illuminated. Hetu, the cause of all causes. Vyapaka, spreading throughout the body in the form of consciousness. Asangi, not depending on the body. Free to transmigrate from one body to another. Anavrita, not covered by material contamination. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Atma refers to the Supreme Lord, all the living entities. Both of them are spiritual. Free from birth and death, free from deterioration, and free from material contamination. They are individual. They are the knowers of the external body, and they are the foundation or shelter of everything. They are free from material change. They are self-illuminated. They are the cause of all causes, and they are all-pervading. They have nothing to do with the material body, and therefore they are always uncovered. With these transcendental qualities, one who is actually learned must give up the illusory conception of life in which one thinks, I am this material body, and everything in relationship with the body, this body is mine. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 5:7, the Lord says, clearly says, Mamaivangso jiva loke jiva bhuta. All the living entities are parts of me. Therefore, the living entities are qualitatively the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the leader, the supreme among all living entities. In the Vedas it is said, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. The Lord is the chief individual living entity, the leader of the subordinate living entities. Because the living entities are parts or samples of God, their qualities are not different from those of the Supreme Lord. The living entities have the same qualities as the Lord, just as a drop of seawater is composed of the same chemicals as the great sea itself. Thus, there is oneness in quality, but difference in quantity. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by understanding the sample, the living entity, because all the qualities of God exist in a minute quantity in the living entities. There is oneness, but God is great, whereas living entities are extremely small. Anur Aniyan Mahato Mahiyan Katha Upanishad 1:2:20. The living entities are smaller than the atom, but God is greater than the greatest. Our conception of greatness may be represented by the sky, because we think of the sky as being unlimitedly big, but God is bigger than the sky. Similarly, we have knowledge that the living entities are smaller than atoms, being 1/10,000th the size of Tipperah. Yet the quality of being the supreme cause of all causes exists in the living entity as well as in the supreme Godhead, supreme personality of Godhead. Indeed, it is due to the presence of the living entity that the body exists and the bodily changes take place. Similarly, it is because of the supreme law that is within the universe that the changes dictated by the universe have occurred. The material laws occur. The word eka, meaning individual, is significant. As explained in the Bhagavad Gita 9:4, matstani sarabhutani na chaham teshvavashtitaha. Everything material and spiritual, including earth, water, air, fire, sky, and the living entities, exists on the platform of spirit soul. Although everything is an emanation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should not think that the Supreme Lord is dependent upon anything else. Both God and the living entities are fully conscious. As living entities, we are conscious of our bodily existence. Similarly, the Lord is conscious of the gigantic cosmic manifestation. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Yasmin dro praviti prithivi chantariksham vigataram adikena vijaniyat ekam eva di vityam atma jyoti samrad iho vacha sa iman loka ashrijata satyam jnana ananta anantam asango yayam purusha purnasya purnam adaya purnam eva vishishite om purnamaha. All these Vedic injunctions prove that both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the minute lit souls are individual. One is great and the other is small, but both of them are the cause of all causes, the corporally limited and the universally unlimited. We should always remember that although we are equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in quality, we are never equal to Him in quantity. Persons with a small fund of intelligence, finding themselves equal in quality with God, foolishly think they are equal in quantity also. Their intelligence is called avishuddha buddhaya, unpolished or contaminated intelligence. When such persons, after endeavoring hard for many, many lives to understand the Supreme Cause, are finally in actual knowledge of Krishna, Vasudeva, they surrender unto Him. Vasudeva sarvamiti saramahatma sudurlabha. Thus they become great mahatmas, perfect souls. If one is fortunate enough to understand his relation with God, knowing that God is great, vibhu, whereas the living entity is small, anu, he is perfect in knowledge. The individual exists in darkness when he thinks that he is the material body, and that everything in relationship with the material body belongs to him. This is called aham atmama janasya moho yam aham mameti. This is illusion. One must give up this illusory conception and thus become fully aware of everything. Atma nityo vayaya shuddha eka kshetragya ashraya avikriya svadrig hetur Yapako Sangranaritaha. Atma refers to the Supreme Lord and all the living entities. Both of them are spiritual, free from birth and death, free from deterioration and free from material contamination. They are individual, and they are the knowers of the external body, and they are the foundations or shelter of everything. They are free from material change. They are self-illuminated. They are the cause of all causes, and they are all-pervading. They have nothing to do with the material body, and therefore they are always uncovered. With these transcendental qualities, one who is actually learned must give up the illusory conception of life in which one thinks, I am this material body, and everything in relationship with the body is mine. So here it says we should give up the illusory bodily concept of life. So I order you to give up the illusory bodily conception of life. Let's see how many have done it. No one wants to follow my instructions. I'm disappointed. So Bhagavatam is giving us the vision, at least that we should give up the illusory bodily concept of life. Now this particular purport and verse doesn't tell us exactly how to do it, but at least it tells us who we actually are. Anadivam nirgunadvat paramatmayam avyam sharira stopi kontiya nakaroti nanalipyate. That those who can see with the eyes of eternity can see that the soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of material nature. Despite contact with the material body, or Arjuna, the soul is neither doing anything nor is it entangled. So this is meant to encourage us to give up the bodily concept of life. Now, if we look in the mirror and we think, well, why should I give up the bodily concept of life? I have such a nice body. Maybe at the time of death, when I have no choice, I'll give it up. Until then, let's enjoy. Because things aren't so bad. Why should we give up something so valuable? Especially my false ego. So that's what we have to understand. That's why the Bhagavatam is quite pessimistic. That's why people don't like the Bhagavatam usually. It's too pessimistic. And if anyone speaks too harshly, then one will think, oh, there must be something wrong maybe with him. He had a bad relation with his mother. And now he wants to take it out on all of us. But actually, Bhagavatam is not meant to criticize the material world, because the material world is very valuable in the sense that it's here to convince us that we shouldn't be in the material world. The material world is made in such a way as to try to encourage us to get out of it. But the secret of that is, where do we go when we get out of the material concept of life? If we don't become convinced where we should go, not in the sense that, you know, when the Vaikuntha airplane comes, then I'll make a decision to get on or not. I'll study the Bhagavatam. Yeah, why not? Try it out for a while. See if I can get a return ticket. No, we can go to spiritual consciousness immediately, because that's our normal consciousness. We can immediately be on the spiritual platform if we choose to be so. But we just have to first of all, we have to become aware of the fact that we're on, material world means to be on the mental platform. What does the mental platform mean? Does anyone know? Manorite nasati. Davato vahi, yas yasti bhaktira bhagavata kenchana savarganas tatra samasate sura ara bhaktasya kuto mahagunan manorate nasati davato vahi. Anyone heard that verse before? No? Yas yasti bhaktira bhagavata kenchana. So, one who's performing devotional service he obtains all the good qualities of the demigods. Harava Kasyukuta Mahaguna. But if one is not performing devotional service, one is not a devotee of Krishna, although apparently he may have very good qualities, but he's wavering on the mental platform. And Davatovahi means he's sure to come down to a lower standard of existence. So what does the mental platform mean? Does anyone know? Yes. Well, what happens if you like Krishna? Okay. So how often are we on the mental platform? Any guess? Yeah, more than a couple of minutes a day. Actually, unless we're on the Bhava Bhakti platform, to some extent, at least let's say, when we come to the Nishta platform, when all these disturbing thoughts, disturbing means anything that distracts us from Krishna consciousness, when we're not disturbed by them, then we're getting off the mental platform, we can say. So we're trying to practice on the Nishta platform, on the liberated platform. Just like we have our program and we're chanting. Now, in the midst of chanting, everyone can put their arms up. Even we can dance wildly. And the last thing that's on our mind is Krishna. We're thinking, look at me. Wow, anyway. Everyone, don't get distracted by the deities. Look at them. They're not dancing like I am. So we can be completely on the mental platform. They're, wow, he must be in ecstasy. Or she must be in ecstasy. They're going, yeah, I'm in ecstasy. Everyone see. Benedictions to everyone. I'll wave my hand, you'll all become purified there. No, we actually, the whole idea is to concentrate. First of all, we have to see if we're concentrating our minds upon Krishna. And how do we know when we're chanting, when we're in kirtan, if we're concentrating our minds upon Krishna? How do we know? This is all very mysterious because no one really thought about such things. It's all kind of new. We've only been here for 30 years, so another 60 we should make. We should figure it out. Yes. Less misery. Less misery. All right, my feet are not on the ground. Less misery. Okay, less misery, maybe. How do we know if we're actually concentrating our minds on Krishna? I mean, take a guess, a wild guess. So, for instance, if someone's chanting, how do we know if we're concentrating our mind upon Krishna when someone's chanting? Yeah, we try to listen. That helps. If they're chanting and we're thinking, I don't like to chant it. Why? Someone else should be chanting. I heard frogs chanting better than me. Or we may think so many things. Oh my God, I'm hungry. Or I'm tired. I shouldn't be here. Why did I come here? What's going on here? What's going to happen today or the next week or 5 years from now? Where we're preoccupied by so many other things other than just peacefully, at least peacefully, hearing the holy name chanted by someone, and what to speak of trying to appreciate that they're chanting Hare Krishna and they're calling out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna, and they're personally present right there, right in the temple room with us when they're chanting Hare Krishna. Usually you think, oh, maybe Krishna's present, but I don't have time. I got so many other things to worry about. I got so many other things to do. No, we just listen and then try to listen, not with attention. Oh, I got to listen. This is really hard. Oh, how heavy thing they gave me to listen. My mind is burning. I smoke coming out of my ears. I can't pay any more attention. Oh, I quit. I'm going to have a heart attack if I keep on trying to listen. No, we have to listen with some appreciation. Otherwise, it becomes an impossible task. I want to think about something else, but I'm going to go to hell if I think about something else. I got to listen to the horrible thing. Krishna, oh, it hurts. No, we have to listen with some appreciation. And then when we chant, we have to actually chant to Srimati Radharani and Krishna to engage us in their loving service. We can't experience Krishna if we're not in the mood of love. We're not in the mood of appreciation or happiness or something along that line. We can't experience, because Krishna, he exists on that platform. But if we think we're something other, I'm this body, I have so many problems, I got so many things to do, I got this and that, how can I be happy? It's not possible. This, you know, I should be miserable. I deserve to be miserable. I should be miserable. It's my duty to be miserable. No one's going to convince me not to be morose. They're trying to trick me into being happy in this movement. I should be realistic. So if that's our conception of reality, the bodily concept, of course we're always going to be miserable. It doesn't matter. Even Krishna could personally walk into the room, we'd still be miserable. What are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. But if we actually accept, at least for a couple of minutes a day, that I'm not this body, or for some time, and then try to accept, there's a good reason to become happy, because I'm eternal, and there's an ocean of pleasure and happiness and love that's awaiting me if I just give up my material concept of life and take on a different concept of life, even for a few minutes. Don't worry that if we try to become Krishna conscious for a few minutes, the material world won't go away. And if you want to come back to misery, it's all right, it's waiting for you. Welcome back! Here you are, here's a. Do you want this suffering or that? Oh, I like that suffering. Great, go for it. You've been away for so long. It's only been 3 minutes, Maya. I missed you so much. Don't do it again. I hope you didn't become happy. So the Bhagavad Gita, one time, another time, another time, is trying to convince we're not these bodies. We're actually spirit souls. We're the same quality as Krishna. As Krishna is all loving and blissful, so we can also become blissful and loving. There's no reason to be envious and hateful and bitter and skeptical and all these other things. There's no reason. We don't have to be like that. We could actually be something different if we so choose. And just with a little faith, try to pay attention to our devotional service, especially the chanting of the holy names. And then gradually these things will be understood by Krishna's mercy. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. They're the cause of the body? Yeah, they're the cause of the body because they don't create anything in the material world. But because they desire, therefore Krishna creates the body for them through the material energy. If they didn't desire, then there wouldn't be any material body. If we went back to Godhead, Krishna wouldn't have to create a material body for us. So in that sense, we're the cause of the material body. We're the immediate cause. Although Krishna has to create the material body for us through the material nature. But if we didn't desire like that, Krishna wouldn't bother doing it. Anything? Yes.
Maharaj, what does it mean that... We meditate on Paramatma in other living entities.
I don't meditate upon Paramatma in ever living entities. I can't even see Paramatma, which is speak of meditating on him. We understand he's there. We understand as he's directing our wandering, he's directing all living entities' wanderings. We pray to Krishna, in other words, or even Paramatma, to give us the intelligence how to serve him in this material world under the guidance of his devotees. So we pray to Krishna. And that way we meditate on the instructions of Krishna coming in disciples' succession. And as Krishna has explained them in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that's our meditation. See through the eyes of scripture, understand through the instructions of Krishna's representatives. So that way we meditate upon Paramatma. Because ultimately it's Paramatma who has to give us the intelligence, understand what he says in Bhagavad Gita or what he says through his devotees. Without Paramatma's assistance, he has to see that we really want to hear or understand. Otherwise, he won't allow us to. If he doesn't think we want to, he won't allow us to. So we have to show Paramatma that we're sincere. That way we meditate on it. We pay attention to him. Ask him, what does he want us to do?
What about when we do book distribution, they also say you should pray to Paramatma in your heart, in their hearts.
Well, try your own heart. There's not a different Paramatma in their heart. It's enough to just pray Paramatma in our heart to please engage me in your service. That's what the Hare Krishna mantra is. You can also chant Hare Krishna. That we want these. We should see things clearly, or else we don't see things properly. We should see that this is a living entity, it's the eternally servant of Krishna. It's forgotten. I'm here to help them remember. So please, and my mission is to give them a book and try to get them to become favorable. So please let me be an instrument for them. So Krishna can give me the intelligence how to at least attempt to give this soul a book, or maybe send me a soul who will want to take a book, and I should do it in such a way as to make them, inspire them in some way, perhaps even to read the book, or come to the temple or something. So I should know what I'm trying to do there, and I should pray to Paramatma to help me do it.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandra Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Haridas Thakur Ki Jai.